Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, Reiki Energy Practitioner and author of Life is No Coincidence. Joining us today is my special guest, Catherine Tull, author of The Next Bold Step, Learning to Love and Value Yourself and Know That You Matter. Catherine is a licensed marriage and family therapist. She has a psychotherapy practice in Los Angeles and a special interest in helping clients heal past trauma, poor parenting in early life, and issues of abuse, addiction, and low self-esteem so that they may begin to find that life can be fully and joyously lived. Hello, Catherine.
Hi.
Welcome. You know, Catherine, as listeners of this radio show, Healing From Within, already know, the show was designed to explore the multidimensional aspects of true healing, which, as we know, includes a balancing of mind or emotions with our inner soul needs and reflecting the same in our physical body. By transforming negative impressions and thoughts from our past interactions with others to a new view and implementation of positive action and behavior, we ultimately remember the best within ourselves, and it's then possible to discard outdated beliefs or attitudes from our childhood so we can create a more positive self-image and a healthier lifestyle. In today's episode, Catherine and I will suggest tools and strategies that enable people to move past any abuse, neglect, trauma, domestic violence, and other forms of dysfunction, either endured or witnessed. And we want to help our listeners know that the human spirit is resilient, and with the proper guidance and care, it is possible to transcend any damage sustained and to reclaim our personal power to love, share, and value ourselves. Catherine, you mentioned in the introduction to your book, The Next Bold Step, that although you set out to write a book for others, the writing of this book has been part of your own evolutionary process. Can you tell us something about yourself, your challenges, and why you chose to write this book?
Absolutely, and thank you so much for asking me that, Cheryl. I remember the moment that insight came to me, that I really had thought that I was writing this book for other people, and then it just was so brilliantly clear to me that really the writing of the book had been kind of delivered to me in order for me to continue to grow and in order for me to be able to continue digging through my own past and my own material in order to clarify insights and share those with others. Because so many of us have had experiences that have been traumatizing, even though we would not necessarily have those experiences defined by the media as trauma. The reality is that so many of the experiences we live through in life are, in fact, physically and emotionally and mentally traumatizing. So what kind of brought me to the point of writing the book, Cheryl, is that in 1999, I ended up choosing to leave my second husband, who was a very violent man. And I had been living in an increasingly violent marriage for almost 17 years. And there was psychological abuse, financial abuse, spiritual abuse, and physical abuse. The biggest brunt of it fell on me and on my oldest child, who was my son from my first marriage. A lot of it also fell on my younger children who were from my second marriage. And in 1999, the violence escalated to a point that it almost cost me my life. And it was only at that moment in time that something within me that refused to be extinguished rose up and forced me to leave, in spite of my children feeling so conflicted. They wanted to see me safe, and they were just horrified at what had happened, but at the same time they wanted to be in their home with their school and their friends, and it was a very, very difficult time. And from that moment forward, in December of 1999, everything in my life started to shift in the most extraordinary and unforeseen and challenging ways. And those shifts have not stopped occurring. I mean, I will tell you that I will share with you, and some of your listeners might be able to identify with this, even now I'm going through an extraordinary transition.
Well, I think, Catherine, once you open up to the universal impulse and know that change is really good for us, and that any relationship only lasts as long as it's meant for you to remember your own state of power, and to know that your soul is programmed to do what is best for you, and ultimately that will do for your children, your friends, your clients, what is best for them, because you'll be an example of acceptance and allowing and surrendering to any hardship, but not at the expense of giving up your soul and your energy and your passion for life, which is what happens in an abusive relationship of any kind, whether it's
yes.
a parent with a child, or it's a student with a teacher, or it's an athlete with his coach. I mean, these power struggles undermine the health and well-being of an individual, and indeed of us all, because we are in this shift now, hoping to go for more cooperation and understanding of our own needs, rather than the competition that brings many of these power struggles about. But at any rate, I'd like to read a paragraph from your book that I believe describes everyone's search for wholeness and health. You see, I know you in my heart, even if I have never met you. I say this because one of the greatest, most complex, yet simplest things I have learned is this. The more it appears that we are different, the more I learn that we are the same. We want to be loved. We want to be appreciated. We want to be respected and valued for who we are. You matter. So join me. Reach inside. Allow yourself to be a seeker. Be courageous. Be brave and be hopeful. And find your true, beautiful, unique, and wonderful self. You remember writing that?
I do.
Well, I say that many times with my clients, and to hear it written so beautifully and expressed by you was a very pleasant happening for me. And I remember that I was at a workshop with Deepak Chopra, and I was talking to a young man there. He was 25 years old, and I was telling him how we all have to face similar life issues. So we are all the same, more or less similar. We come from the same energy. We're having many of the same experiences, and not at the same time, perhaps, and not exactly in the same way. But we all have to experience loss and health issues, money issues, relationship issues, issues with our parents, work-related issues. And he just turned to me, and he said, I'm not like anyone else, and I'm not like you. I don't like to work, and I don't really want to improve myself very much.
Oh, my goodness.
And I said to myself, okay, so.
And what was he doing at a Deepak Chopra event?
He was working at the desk.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
So I chalk it up to remembering when I was that young, and thinking that I was in control of so much that I was doing and that was happening to me, and feeling very powerful and very much sure of myself, and not being able to say honestly, you know, I don't have an answer for that. I really think I need to study that a little more, look at it a little more, and take this into the future with me before I can really make a comment. But he was very bold. Like the title of your book.
That's right. He was very bold. Well, and you know, at that age, in the 20s, it is developmentally so appropriate for an individual to be very adamant about feeling very individual, because they're still very much in a process of, you know, trying to separate where does my parent end and where do I begin?
I agree.
And so to have an older person say to you, well, you know, we're very much alike, really.
It was wonderful. I think it fits in right here. What I was trying to say to him is he needed to be a seeker. He needed to be courageous and brave and hopeful, and he would find his beautiful, unique, and wonderful self. That's what I was saying, but he wasn't ready. He had to go through whatever trauma and maybe perhaps be a victim to some of the circumstances in his life, so he wasn't ready to hear that from me.
Right.
Catherine, in your opinion, what has led so many people, I mean, you and I have many clients, and we hear and listen to their sorrow and pain, and they, many of them, believe they deserve some of the trauma that is happening to them. But what has led so many people to believe they don't really matter and can't really change anything, and so they continue as victims or people who judge others and cannot forgive themselves, and they continue to live with pain and struggle in pain?
That is a huge question. So I hope you have about 6 hours.
Well, we'll start a little bit. It is a very powerful question, but we will do the best we can to help those listening out there.
Yes, and I'll try to kind of put it in a nutshell if I can.
Yes.
Our brains are wired to absorb information. And so from the moment we're conceived, impulses of information are being delivered to our brain, and we start to ingest this information. And so from the moment we're conceived, not only after we're born, but from the moment we're conceived, these impulses begin to write a story. And it is how that story continues to be written that ultimately creates a belief system for you that tells you who you are and what your place is in the world, and it and that belief system is in large part built on how other people behave around you and what they say to you and what you see in other people's behavior. And so many of us have been in environments, whether in our earliest lives or later on or in school, we've had dozens upon dozens of interactions, hundreds of interactions with individuals who are essentially trying desperately to feel okay about themselves, and they do that at the expense of your feelings.
Yes, they're following the programs they were given by their parents and teachers and leaders, and they're feeling hurt and wounded, so they are reacting and mirroring exactly what they were shown.
Exactly.
And each imprint, we're all receiving imprints from everyone's words and thoughts and actions, and it's like the body is, Dr. Emoto in Japan did this experiment with water, and we are 90% water. And every imprint creates a crystallization either for beauty and wellness or for disruption, chaos, and disease.
Exactly.
Right. So we know that we are all being affected, but we need to learn that our identification process, what we think we are according to our ego and what other people tell us we are, is not exactly who we are spiritually as an energy presence and soul. And so if we learn to balance both parts of our being, we can not allow that to be our whole life, and we can find that peace that we so wish. Now, you also begin, you discuss how people can choose and begin to awaken to their true nature, and they can use the 10 core components that you suggest for success. Would you like to tell us just a little bit about these 10 core components?
Absolutely, because on my own journey, Cheryl, what, you know, I studied a lot of great leaders in the world, including people like Deepak Chopra, and I studied their work and I read about their backgrounds and how they rose to the position of leadership that they are in. And I identified 10 qualities or characteristics that I decided to call the 10 core components, that I saw these 10 components in every single person who rises to a place where they are able to share powerfully with others and where they are able to produce in their lives powerful results. And these, many of the people I studied are people of notoriety, but a lot of them are just people that I know in my life that I have developed great regard and respect for. And so among these characteristics are components that seem very basic, but they are absolutely essential because they do impact the way energy flows. And the energetic component behind all of this is so very, very crucial. And the energy is so implicitly affected by how you think, just as how you think is affected by the energy.
Our thoughts and our words influence everything going on around us. But you did list some of these, and I agree with you. These are the components. Desire. First, you have to have a desire to make a change in yourself. Then you have to have a willingness to accept whatever comes your way and to stick with it until you move forward. You need courage, belief and trust, commitment, intention, visualization, hope, choice, and action. Now, you can't just decide you want to do something and wait for it to come to you. You have to do everything in your power to build yourself and grow and work continuously to see the best in yourself and to continue to learn and be curious. And those 10 core components you gave, you are right. They're in every person who overcomes any struggle in their life. And most of the people who are doing this kind of work that you and I are doing have had our own sensitivities and issues, but we did not allow it to stop us from going baby step by baby step forward. Would you agree?
I do agree, but I also want to say, because I believe that a lot of people might hear something like that, Cheryl, and think, well, I just don't have what it takes. Well, I want you to know that I didn't know that I had what it takes. I did not know that I had what it takes. And it was only in the doing, in literally moving from one moment to the next for a very long time, that I began to discover that by simply moving forward, that I actually did have what it takes.
Because your soul was resilient, as all our souls are. We know so much more than we're able to express with our mind and our ego life. Now, I want to say many people don't think they can move forward, like you just said you were that way, because they, in order to do that, they have to give up blaming others for unhappy events, and they have to take responsibility to create that sense of worth and happiness from within their own divine or spiritual gifts. And they have to align to higher spiritual laws and values, and they have to start to devaluate other people's manipulation of them. Now, this is a complicated process. I don't say it happens overnight, but these are the elements that are necessary to go back to your own inner being and inner voice and to know that you have guidance, people around you who might be willing to help, and certainly, I believe, people in spirit who are around us and help us to move forward when we think nothing else is possible.
Right, so, and what I want to point out, Cheryl, because if there's anybody listening that is hurting right now, what I know is that when you are hurting deeply, being able to stop blaming others, being able to recognize their manipulation and take the power out of that, those seem like goals, those can seem like goals that are completely unreachable when you are deeply in pain. So what I want to say is this, because I don't want anybody to think that it is outside of their reach. The truth for me is that all where it starts is with one breath at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Before you even concern yourself with, I can't blame somebody else, what you have to focus on is, I have to get through this moment.
Right. And I agree. Yeah.
And then I have to get through the next moment. And I'm going to do my best to choose in every moment, given what I know now.
Yes, it builds like building blocks.
It does.
One block at a time. But let's go to this. This is very important, and it has to do with what we're talking about. Can you describe conditional love and how that kind of love can damage a child's sense of being and even cripple the soul?
Oh, yes. Conditional love is that when somebody says to you, well, you should do this, and you should do that, or you should be this person, or you should think this way, or you shouldn't have those feelings. And if you don't cooperate with that person's opinion, you in some way get punished by them.
Mm-hmm.
They either withdraw from you, they ignore you, they might literally punish you in some way by yelling at you, or even worse, hitting you. You might have their affection or their attention or their presence taken away from you. And what that kind of a reaction tells you then is that if you disobey what they want from you, they won't love you anymore.
Well, I think this is what has happened to so many people. And I think really, you know, when I used to hear about unconditional love from my younger sister who was very autistic when we were in college, I really didn't know what she was talking about. Mm-hmm. I really had no idea, because I was living according to those standards too. When mm-hmm. you do what is expected of you, you receive rewards. And
that's
when
right.
you don't, there's a punishment. But that's not love. And many children, I would say most of us, have been raised by parents who don't have the proper parenting skills and have harmed us, even though they don't mean to.
Yes.
They have been raised that way, and they do the same thing. So let's go into another idea here. What are the physical symptoms that show up when you are processing strong emotional responses, and that can lead you to feel feelings of defeat and despair? Because many people are feeling this way, and we want to give them some physical idea of what's happening to their body so that they will know that they really need to change their thoughts and their lifestyle and patterns a little bit to get rid of some of these unhealthy feelings in the body. So what would you say are those kind of?
Well, the early warning signs are things such as stomach aches, chronic indigestion, chronic irregularity, headaches, and momentary things like shortness of breath, feeling like your chest is constricted.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, the old saying, go with your gut feeling. The reason that that saying is so accurate is because emotion shows up in the gut right away. When something is going on that you are uncomfortable about on any level, your stomach will start to either flutter, or you might feel nauseous, or your stomach muscles clench. And so that, you know, that gut feeling is really something important to listen to. When all of a sudden your stomach starts hurting, or, you know, people get shooting pain and they think, oh, well, I just have some indigestion or something.
Or they go to the doctor, they think they have an ulcer, they think they have other things. But
well,
yes.
And ulcers are caused by anxiety and emotional distress.
Well, I believe that everything in the body has been caused by strong emotional response, and there are tools that we need to tell the listeners about that can calm and restore physical and emotional balance and self-confidence. Would you tell us a few of the tools that
Absolutely.
They need to start working with?
Absolutely. And the most important tool of all, and I know that you work with this a lot too, Cheryl, is your breath.
Yes. Number one, breathing.
The very first thing that the body is programmed, this is an ancient program that was built into our system in order to help us survive attack. So the first thing that happens when you feel attacked, whether it's psychologically or physically, is that your body dumps chemicals, your brain dumps chemicals into your body that shorten your breath so that you can either run or fight. And that's called the fight or flight response. And it is programmed into the most primitive part of your brain. You can't really change the programming. But what you can do is respond to that reaction by breathing. And if you will just pause and take 2 to 3 deep breaths, you can close your eyes if that's possible, or you don't have to close your eyes. And the most effective way to take those breaths is to breathe in through your nose slowly, and you breathe out through parted lips slowly, and you allow yourself to really exhale and really deeply breathe in again and exhale fully again. And the doing of that breath gives oxygen back to your brain, which allows the brain function to restabilize so that you can think clearly, and it allows your entire physiological system to slow down again, because you don't actually have to run away to survive.
Right.
You can actually stay in the moment and think clearly and make a different choice.
All right. Let me read a paragraph from a book by Sakti Gawain, from the book Living in the Light that you wrote about in your book. I thought it was very beautiful. The love you feel for someone else is actually your experience of feeling love. It is not actually about the other person. It is your ability to experience the feeling. The love you feel for the other person is the reflection of the love you have within you. In order to experience love with another or for another, you first have to experience love within you. This is true of all relationships, not only romantic ones. Many call this spirit. Many call this God. Personally, I do feel this is a connection to the divine. The more you matter to yourself, the richer will be the love you feel for others. And I believe that is where every healer is going, to help people find self-love and a connection to the universe, and to know that we are all more similar than different. On that note, I want to thank you, Catherine, for your wonderful book, The Next Bold Step, A Guide and Manual for a Journey of Change and Acceptance of Self. In reading this book, it becomes clear that the quality of our relationships and our moods and our emotions and our choices to experience new events and challenges becomes possible when we value the quiet voice within that recognizes the personal power of our soul and our universal connections. For more information, go to nextboldstep.com. In summarizing today's episode, once again on Healing From Within, we have explored the connection between mind, soul, and the physical life, which offers us ways to discover our unique and divine life force. The force, when allowed to expand, leads us to experience people and situations that help us learn more about ourselves. In finding ourselves and our true reasons for a combined physical and soul life, it becomes possible to correct and refine any programs of behavior assimilated by us as a result of our early life influences. I ask you to unburden yourself from the thoughts and actions of others. Reclaim yourself in that deepest, expansive quality of loving yourself, and the world will become brighter for you and will be more alive, reflecting your personal evolution. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, and please join us again on Healing From Within on webtalkradio.net, or go to my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear leaders in the field of healing, spirituality, and the universal components of becoming one with life and love.